Hi, Newstalk's Ciara Kelly here. There is something about summer that makes you want to refresh your home. And for many of us, that starts with the kitchen. It's where the morning coffee happens, where family life gathers, where friends always seem to end up. And after years of wear and tear, it might be time to give it the attention it deserves. So if you're thinking about a new kitchen, Tile Style is well worth a visit, because Tile Style doesn't just do tiles, they also design and supply beautiful kitchens, including the luxurious Porcelainosa kitchen collection. Think high quality, contemporary design, stunning finishes, clever storage, and a look that can completely transform your space. Their expert team can help you plan it all properly with advice and optional virtual design, so you can see how your new kitchen will come together before making any big decisions. And with Tile Style Summer Sale now on, offering exceptional value across the store, it's a brilliant time to start planning with tiles and finishes to perfectly complement your new kitchen. So if your summer plans include creating a kitchen that feels genuine special, start with Tile Style. Visit the Tile Style showroom in Ballymount to see full kitchen displays and finishes up close, or explore more at tilestyle.ie.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
From the grand boulevards of fascist Italy and Nazi Germany's monumental plans, to the symbolism behind modern political projects like Donald Trump's White House ballroom, architecture has long been used as a statement of power, control, and ideology. But how do buildings and monuments influence the way citizens see themselves in relation to the state? And at what point does architecture move beyond national identity into, effectively, the deification of a political leader? Joining me now to talk about all of this is Dr. Hannah Malone, Assistant Professor in the History of Modern Architecture. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, let's talk about where all of this began. Can we go back in history and discover who were the people who decided that buildings should say something about themselves?
Well, we can really go back as far as ancient Rome and a whole series of large buildings that were created by the ancient Roman emperors to glorify themselves, to glorify their leadership. Now, if we're thinking about, for instance, triumphal arches, the ancient Roman emperors invented that type of building when they created these structures to celebrate their victories and to have these processions of defeated enemies.
So they had no real purpose. I mean, they weren't functional buildings as such. They were absolutely ornamental and triumphalist.
Absolutely. They're simply to show off. They're a statement of power and of glory.
How did the citizens react to these structures?
The fact is, it's very hard to know how people ever react to buildings. And that is really the problem with architecture. Now, you as an emperor, you might choose to put up a giant arch to celebrate yourself. But that meaning will not always be put across to your citizens. They might be impressed. They might be horrified about how much money you're spending on this building.
Now, sometimes we do get a sense of what citizens think. If you remember after the fall of Saddam, the toppling of that famous statue of him. So at that point, at least, the citizens were saying, we've had enough of this man.
Yes, absolutely. And there's something very interesting that happens to architecture that was put up by political leaders after their regimes fall, after they lose power. And what do you do with these buildings? Do you keep them? Do you knock them down? And quite often the citizens decide to rise up and start demolishing buildings, knocking down monuments.
Now, sometimes they can simply rename them. I mean, this happens in many post-colonial countries where they just rename something because the resonances of the old colonial empire are to be found in a name. But sometimes it does amount to destruction.
Absolutely. Renaming is a very cheap and easy way to recover a building that has bad associations, that tainted by its link to, say, a bad leader. If we think of how many buildings were put up by Hitler in Nazi Germany, many of those buildings were simply kept after the Second World War because Germany was very poor and couldn't really afford to destroy those buildings. They were too useful. So they tended to rename them.
Now, why is it that so many of the things that we see that are celebrating a great military victory, whatever it was, and it might have been in the 19th century or even in the 20th century, that they are modelled on ancient designs rather than even contemporary designs. Why is that? Ancient Rome.
Well, the return to the classical style has the purpose of connecting that government, that leader, with the glory of ancient Rome. So it's tapping into the status of the ancient Romans, saying, we're just like the ancient Roman emperors, we're just like that. Hence all the triumphal arches which you get from the ancient Roman emperors to Napoleon to Hitler and to Trump today.
Now, we talk about Hitler, we will talk about Trump in a moment, but others who've celebrated themselves in architecture would include people like Mussolini?
Absolutely. Now, Mussolini had the advantage of being in power for over 20 years. So he really transformed the shape of most Italian cities by building so many structures, monuments, even entire towns, which were set up from scratch. And Mussolini did that because he thought that by building architecture, you could change how people thought and how they felt.
When we found out at the end of the war how they felt about him, when they strung him up, he was strung up by his own people. And I think was he hanging upside down at the end
of
his day?
From a petrol pump, yes, very undignified.
But very Italian, their love of fast cars.
Very dramatic.
Now, talk to me about more recent times, people like the Ceausescus, how monumental were they in their constructions?
Oh, very. Well, Ceausescu famously in the 1980s created this massive parliament building, which exists today as apparently the heaviest building in the world. It's this terribly gaudy, ornamented, ostentatious building. And although Ceausescu wanted it to be, you know, a great sign of his power, we know that he soon afterwards lost his government, and now it looks a bit vain.
Which other, say, 20th century figures also built for themselves to glorify themselves?
Well, Stalin was definitely another one. I mean, if we think of the Palace of Soviets that was never built, but it was meant to be this giant tower with an enormous statue at Lenin at the top, and it was meant to be bigger than the Eiffel Tower, bigger than the Empire State Building, a great sign of Soviet, but above all of Stalin's power.
I mean, he managed to name a city, Stalingrad. So there you go. He, I suppose, like Trump, was determined that he would not be forgotten. If you name enough things after yourself, your name will resonate down through the ages. And that seems to be Trump's ambition as well.
Absolutely. A lot of these leaders have this idea of building for future generations, of creating a durable sign of their power. Hitler was obsessed with this. And that's why Nazi buildings tend to be in stone, at least on the outside, because he had this idea that his rule was going to last for 1,000 years, that they were going to survive.
Now, what is different about what Trump is imagining for himself? I mean, he has the ballroom project, which is in and out of the courts all the time. And the latest tweeze being, it's all for security, even though he can go to Madison Square Garden to watch a boxing or wrestling or whatever it might be without the need for this excessive security. There's the arch he's talking about, his signature on dollar bills. He has ambitions, I think, for Mount Rushmore, which may or may not come to pass. So what's different about him?
Well, there are many similarities. The scale of Trump's projects, the classical style, as you mentioned, the durability of the materials, but also the destructiveness, the fact that he knocked down the East Wing of the White House without caring about its value. But there's a big difference in the fact that leaders like Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, they're working with an authoritarian rule, so they have all the power, all the money to build. It remains to be seen whether Trump, who is a democratic leader, will be able to pull it off.
And that's the question. I mean, he destroyed the East Wing with a view to his ballroom project without seeking permission from those who are charged with mining or taking care of the fabric of Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. And that has raised many criticisms, including a lawsuit from the National Historic Preservation Society. So We'll see if Trump really has the power and also the finances to pull off the construction of his ballroom and of his triumphal arch.
Has it worked for anybody down through the ages that has preserved their name in stone or otherwise so that they are remembered with respect, admiration and affection?
Well, you could say that the fact that we're talking about Mussolini, Hitler and Stalin today is a sign that their architecture did do something to help preserve their memory. You can't help going to any number of European cities and being impressed by the Roman of the architecture of the ancient Roman emperors or even of one of these dictators. But, you know, these projects can also backfire as well because of their cost and their excessiveness.
And that poem, Ozymandias, I am Ozymandias, King of Kings, and the rest of it, I mean, it's about the vainglorious emperor who is not remembered except in a poem.
Yes, absolutely. And then there are those who say that, in fact, you know, Trump's triumphal arch, the wonderfully nicknamed Arc de Triomphe, might come back to bite him and play very much into the hands of the Democrats in the upcoming elections this November. So we shall see.
Dr. Hannah Malone, Assistant Professor in the History of Modern Architecture at Trinity College in Dublin. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.